City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's a Bismarck City Current, and we are in the studios of Dakota Media Access, and it's Wednesday, August 15th. The we is Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator.
It's a lot to say.
It is. It is a big title. And I'm Mary Van Sickle with Dakota Media Access. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thank you. How are you today?
Very good. Another beautiful summer morning here in Bismarck. Want to talk about a couple of things. It is beautiful and it is summer, but there's a lot of road construction going on in town, Jason. I'm sure you're hearing comments at the city.
We are. Yeah, it's our second season. We have winter and then we have construction. So.
And we have some major streets that are under construction right now, and water mains being replaced. I know there was someone at our door yesterday saying, hey, by the way, your water's getting shut off at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're not your typical business downtown. A lot of our work starts about that time of the day because we have so many government meetings, but we appreciated the warning, but just kind of indicative of what's going on in town.
Yeah, it is. And we just ask that everybody, you know, stay patient. We'll get there. There's improvements coming, but we're all impacted, especially those north-south routes throughout town. We know we have limited corridors. Mm-hmm. When you shut down 3rd Street and 4th Street
and Washington,
you kind of left with State Street after that.
Yeah.
So just be patient, hold tight.
Yes.
It will come to an end very soon.
And school starting next week, maybe allow a little more time to get the kids back and forth if you're driving or getting to school. I think that's important, too. Please be patient. These are necessary projects.
Mm-hmm. Stop for the school buses. If the red lights are out for the school buses, make sure you're patient with them, too.
Yeah. So it's a necessary evil. Without this, we have crappy roads and streets.
Potholes.
And bad water mains.
Yep,
and all of that. So necessary to go through these projects, but we're hopeful that they're going to move forward in a efficient manner.
Things are on time. Things are looking good. So.
All right. Also, not necessarily on the agenda last night, but the budget, the city budget is still on your radar. It has not gone through the complete process yet. So there was a special meeting last week by the Board of City Commissioners to review the preliminary budget.
Yep, the very first peek.
Right, and we did televise that, and it is on our website, so you can watch that in its entirety. That was a very interesting meeting because we went through kind of all the elements of the budget, and it's online. I mean, it is on that draft budget is still available online at the city's website.
Absolutely.
So you can go in there, and you'd have to go under agendas under a previous meeting under the August 7th meeting, and you can find this. And it really breaks it down. There's not one link. It will take you into the particular areas.
Right. It looks at some of the major components of the 2019 budget, from employee salary and benefits packages, priority initiatives, which are unique projects that are brought forward by the various departments.
Mm-hmm.
Fees and charges, of course, we have services that are provided, so the fees and charges need to be looked at and addressed every year. So there's a lot of components to this, and I certainly understand for people that don't deal with this on a regular basis, it can be pretty overwhelming.
It's complicated, no doubt.
To anybody, if they have questions, by all means, feel free to reach out to our office, to City Administration, 355-1300, or come to the meetings. There will be two more budget meetings coming up September 11th.
Now, that's the official introduction.
That'll be the introduction, correct. That's part of the process that we have to follow. State law tells us how we handle these things. So September 11th, the full budget will be on the agenda, and then September 25th will be the public hearing. So if there's anybody out there listening or watching that has comments, that will be your opportunity.
That'll be the final time to make adjustments.
Share your thoughts with the commission.
Sure.
One thing to note, because the preliminary budget has been set, we are not able or allowed to increase the dollar amounts on any of those items, but we can decrease. So the budget could be reduced at this point. It could not be increased.
Sure. Okay. So, good to know.
Yes. We
don't
know,
come
we know
in
what the
with
top
any
end,
special requests.
Right. Yeah. We know what the top end would look like, and from there it could be reduced.
Okay.
If the commission so chooses.
And again, we'll televise both those meetings.
Certainly. We appreciate that.
We'll see how that all develops. moving into the agenda from last night, the consent agenda, which again is typically goes forward without much discussion as it did last night. But there were three items on there we kind of pulled out to talk about. Sure. And they came out of the Community Development Planning Division. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Memory First Edition, and that's an annexation project. Mm-hmm. And that's in a bit of an obscure location. We don't really see that. It's on Highway 83 or near Highway 83.
Just the east side of Highway 83. And as we discussed earlier, I think for a lot of people, the landmark that they would recognize would be the Memory Fireworks facility.
Okay.
So if you're purchasing fireworks along Highway 83, just north of the Hay Creek Shops area, this is an area that will be annexed, which means it's quite likely going to be developed in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
There's likely some plans in place for some improvements happening.
Annexation
here
brings it into city limits.
Correct.
And this is your effort, the community development's effort, to continue to close some of these donut holes.
Right, and continue to grow the city. Mm-hmm. And so what annexation really means is that city services will be provided. So water, sewer, police, fire protection, all that stuff that goes along with being part of the city.
And that was just an introduction last
night?
Right.
The action was to call for the hearing. So that'll be at our second meeting in August, which is the 28th.
And another introduction last night was for Daybreak Medical Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting project, really substantial, at the corner of 57th and North Washington area.
So about a mile west of where we were just talking about.
Which we see a lot of development. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ground being moved up there. So that was there's a substantial project moving into that. It looks really beautiful.
Yeah, this on the screen right now for the radio listeners, this is the master plan of what is being suggested is that this will be a mixed-use development. It'll have, obviously, medical facilities, mm-hmm. office complexes. I believe there's some residential in there. I believe there's also a community facility for people in that area as well. So look forward for some changes there. And for anybody that's curious, this is directly west of the new Light of Christ Catholic High School,
mm-hmm.
just on the north side of 57th Avenue.
Right. And I would assume this is a concept at this point. Nothing is finalized
Absolutely.
As far as the site plan or the renderings, the buildings, the design.
Right.
This is concepts right now being put forward.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
So these things will change from time to time, but for the most part, we have a pretty good understanding of what this will look like at full build out.
So the action taken last night, again, introduction, call for a public hearing on a zoning change for
Correct.
This particular piece of property.
That's right.
Another zoning change proposed last night was for a property that you referred to as City Lands.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of difficult to get my head around where does this really land?
Yeah.
So again, another kind of a different location.
Right. The term City Lands is kind of reserved for property that is unplatted at this point. So it's never been formally dedicated as a subdivision. This is a kind of a challenging piece for development. It's topographically, it's got some real limitations to it. So the request for the zoning change is a planned unit development, which is basically it's a one-of-a-kind zoning district that's tailor-made just for that property based on the proposal.
And this is because of the topography.
The topography, the setback limitations, and things like that. But we do have an individual that purchased the property and is looking to develop it as a series of twin homes. So that will be the concept going forward.
Okay. So public hearing is next meeting, which is 2 weeks from yesterday.
Correct.
Okay.
You got it.
Sounds good. Moving on to the regular agenda, and an item that was first and foremost, and also had a Tribune article regarding this front page today. So very interesting to people. And this is effort that came out of the Combined Infrastructure Task Force and your Special Assessment Task Force. We've been talking about this for quite a while because they've been working towards some sort of relief for special assessments in the community. Nobody likes them. No, whether you have residential or commercial property, it's not fun to see those special assessments on your taxes. So this group has been working for quite some time.
18 months.
Towards this effort. So what happened last night, Jason?
So last night we received a recommendation from Brian Ritter. Of course, Brian represents the Bismarck Mandan Development Association and the Chamber of Commerce. Brian and some of those membership groups were part of the two task forces going forward. So the recommendation that was received last night was to call for a vote. Basically, it was to direct staff, city staff, to develop ballot language. And the purpose of the ballot language would be to consider a 1/2 cent sales tax, an additional 1/2 cent sales tax that would go towards funding major arterial roadway projects. So things like 43rd Avenue. We all know the 43rd Avenue has some limitations.
Sure.
Improving roadways like that, as well as currently the city uses a portion of the sales tax collected to buy down property tax throughout the community. And the value of that property tax buy down is set by the voters back in the 80s at a 25 mil valuation. So it's kind of an analogous term when we talk about mills and valuations. In short, what's happening is a portion of the sales tax collected in our community is used towards buying down property taxes throughout the city. There's an inverse relationship between sales tax and the value of the mill. And as we know, sales tax collections are going down. Property tax valuations are continuing to go up. So at some point, the concern would be that all of the sales tax that is collected would go towards buying down the property tax throughout the city. So with the request to cap the property tax buy down at 25 mils, that will establish a hard and fast number of what that portion of sales tax would be used to pay down property taxes.
And then to supplement that, is the 1/2 cent sales tax. The
right.
potential for that would move forward on just major arterial streets.
Major arterial okay. roadways. And there is a project list that has been developed by this group. I believe there's 14 sections of roadway from north to south, east to west. It's not just one part of the community. It's throughout the entire city. But one of the biggest things that I think should be noted is part of the reason we're looking at alternatives or a sustainable revenue source for these types of projects is historically we've relied on federal dollars that come through the federal government, through the state DOT, and then ultimately to the city to help with these major projects. That money isn't nearly as fulfilling as it used to be.
Sure. So it's going down.
It is going down. The federal dollars, federal grants just aren't there. So cities like ours throughout the nation are looking at alternatives to funding arterial or infrastructure improvements.
Well, it's been a big effort on the part of the both committees, and there's been commissioners that have chaired those committees. So this is moving it forward. It's not as easy as it seems.
Right.
Getting rid of special assessments is not just a slam dunk, because there's limitations set by the state that you can't just eliminate this. So there's got to be alternatives, and we have to be thoughtful on this. So these ballot measures could potentially be on our November ballot.
They could be.
But it's fast-tracking this because we're getting a little close to that date. So at what point do you expect the language to be submitted back to the commission for approval?
It will be on the agenda for our second meeting in August. So the August 28th meeting, there will be draft ballot language for the commissioners to consider. I would anticipate a decision is made by the commission at that time, because in order to get on the November ballot, we have to have any sort of ballot language to the county auditor the first week of September. So there really
isn't much time. It sounds
like a fast track, obviously, but with 18 months worth of work here, this is the culmination.
This did not come lightly, no doubt.
Right. So we're up against a deadline. We recognize that. But this was the recommendation from the two task forces, and the commission said, staff, sharpen your pencils here.
Yeah, here we go.
So,
do you think there's any risk by separating these two items into two ballot measures? I mean, what happens if you have one that passes and one doesn't? I mean, they're really supposed to work hand in hand.
Right, and that is something that the commission is going to have to talk through and decide if that is the desire. You're certainly right. There could be a risk going along with this, but I believe the commission is pretty savvy when it comes to the potential outcomes, and they certainly aren't going to take this lightly.
Sure.
I'm sure they're going to be looking for feedback from community residents, and that's obviously what a vote tells us, is what does the community feel about this. But as Brian Ritter mentioned last night, there was a survey done with nearly 400 people responding. Those were members of the Board of Realtors, the Home Builders Association, the Chamber, and the Bismarck Mandan Development Association. So based on the feedback that was received from that survey, the group felt that it was a viable option to consider moving forward.
Yeah. So okay. Well,
we'll talk about this one a lot.
Yes.
I have a feeling there's going to be a large educational component to go along with this. People are going to want to know,
what does this mean?
What does this really mean for me as a homeowner, as a property owner, as a business owner? How does this all work?
Yeah.
So we recognize that there's a heavy lift if this is something that we're going to move forward on.
It's a great start. So we'll keep our eye on this.
Absolutely.
Too. also on the agenda last night was an appeal by a Board of Adjustment ruling by a citizen in the city, in the ETA, I should say, who has a property that's been deemed by inspections to be a nuisance property.
Right.
We do televise and capture all the Board of Adjustment meetings as well, so we're somewhat familiar with the process here and have seen the testimony provided there. So it was fairly lengthy, and it's a large piece of property down on the Owyhee Bend, I believe.
South 12th Street, just about the southern extent of the city's extraterritorial jurisdiction.
Yeah, and apparently there's been some complaints by neighboring properties, but this process has been going on for a number of years, and the Board of Adjustment is trying to move this forward and help building inspections to move it forward. Mm-hmm. So last night, the commission made a decision to uphold the Board of Adjustment's ruling on this.
Right, which was the request was for the owner to develop an action plan of how to mitigate all of the stuff that's accumulated on this property. I think one thing worth mentioning here is that you heard Anton Sattler. Anton is our environmental health administrator. He's responsible for that division within public health. One thing you heard Anton say last night was, as long as there is measurable progress, they're willing to continue to work with the property owner. In situations like this, certainly don't develop overnight. There's years and years worth of accumulation that's going on here. We've got an owner that is fairly new to the property. He may not have generated some of this concern on his own, but he's now responsible for cleaning it up. And between Anton and his staff, as well as our building inspections division with Brady Blaskowski and his staff, those two divisions will work hand in hand with this property owner to make sure that the property is cleaned up and is in an appropriate displayed site.
So as long as there's cooperation and substantial progress being shown, they're willing to work with him, possibly even extend deadlines if that's necessary. But I you know, and I think you can get into all sorts of arguments about the rights of property owners, but when you're within the city or even within the ETA, it becomes a matter of law. And I think that if you look at some of these pictures, I think most property owners would say, I really don't want to live next to that.
Right.
I think that this is going to affect how my property is perceived and certainly the value of my property.
And when your rights infringe on the rights of others, then it becomes a problem. And I think it's worth mentioning, too, that city staff doesn't go out looking for these things. These are often generated as a complaint first and foremost by the adjacent property owners.
As you said, this has been going on for a long time.
Many years.
It's taken decades probably to build to this level. So action is necessary at this time. It's unfortunate for the individual who now has this burden, but it, you know, again, it sounds like he's got some cooperation with the city and move it forward.
Yeah, and our staff is certainly sensitive to these situations because they can be difficult for people. So they'll continue to work through this. We can sure monitor it. But I think based on what we heard last night, there's a cooperative effort between both city staff and the property owner to get to a place where everybody's much more comfortable.
Yeah, hope things can move forward for everyone. Also last night, what finalized was the Renaissance Zone Development Plan. That's a plan that's in place, but it's an evolving plan. It's a living document.
A living document, yeah. This is probably the sixth or seventh time the Renaissance Zone Development Plan has been amended. It is something that needs to evolve. And what you saw last night, what the changes were, primarily were relating to the minimum dollar amount for a qualifying project. So I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, the per square foot requirement, the dollar per square foot requirement was increased to reflect current trends in construction and what our community was experiencing as far as an average cost of renovating or new construction in the downtown area. The numbers that they're looking at apply to new construction projects, renovation projects, and lease projects. Those minimum levels of investment were adjusted slightly, raised to reflect, you know, where we are right now with the cost of construction in our community. So it's an appropriate thing. It's a normal thing for this Renaissance Zone Development Plan to change. So the commission accepted and approved the recommended changes, and now it will go to the state, the Department of Commerce, Division of Community Services. That's the state agency that oversees the Renaissance Zone program statewide. They'll review the development plan, and if they don't have any concerns, then it will become a finalized document.
It seems like the tweaks weren't very major.
Right.
Did the map stay in place, Jason? We didn't change the boundaries
right,
at
the boundaries
this point.
Are not changing at this okay. time. That was not part of this. Now, if the boundaries did change, that would be something that they would have to look at again.
Mm-hmm.
But really, right now, we're talking about dollars and cents and minimum levels of investment. Those were the biggest changes that we saw.
Sounds good. That was pretty much the end of the agenda items mm-hmm. that we were going to talk about today. But you wanted to talk a little bit about the update on the strategic plan for
right.
the city of Bismarck.
Yeah, and this will be a topic that we probably keep somewhere near the top of the discussion points as we go through this project. So maybe just to recap where we've been so far, we have a consultant, the J.D. Gray Consulting Group out of Frisco, Texas. They've been to Bismarck one time, well, twice, the first time they were here to interview. But once the project started, they kicked off some stakeholder and focus group meetings mm-hmm. and met with a good number of citizens and groups from our community. And the real purpose of that was to make those introductions and then start to receive feedback on what works well in Bismarck, what would you like to see in Bismarck, you know, all the guiding things that we would like to have with a really good strategic plan. Going forward, looking ahead, there will be a lot of opportunities for people to have their voices heard. The next one coming up will be September 14th. We'll have another special city commission meeting. That's a Friday. It'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
The entire purpose of that meeting is to work on the vision and values workshop, the vision and values component of the strategic plan. Also, and this is for anybody that's interested, the J.D. Gray Group will have a booth at the annual street fair. Downtown. So Friday the 14th and Saturday the 15th. If you'd like to talk to them and give them your thoughts, this is one of those opportunities.
They won't
going
be
forward.
Selling turkey legs.
No,
or
there's no popcorn balls,
fry bread,
or anything.
Tacos, or
nope.
anything like that.
Nope. They just want to listen.
They just want
to hear from you.
They
so.
May have to do something to entice people over to that booth.
Maybe some
a lot
hard candy or something.
There you go. There
but
you go.
One of the things that was really attractive about the consultant that we chose is that during their interview, the message they provided to the project team was, we want to go where the people are. We want to be where they are so mm-hmm. we can hear their message rather than set up a shop and have them come to us. We want to find them in large groups so we mm-hmm. can hit as many people as we can effectively. So
I don't know if their website is up yet, but they did talk at their launch meeting that they will be developing a website
right.
just for this Bismarck
Absolutely.
Strategic plan. And their whole point is they want
Engagement.
Feedback. So if you can't
yep.
come to a public meeting, if you aren't at the street fair, there's still ways mm-hmm. that you'll be able to contribute to this.
Right.
They took all that testimony and listened at the focus groups. Now they went back to Texas, kind of mm-hmm. regrouping, coming back and sharing what they've
yep.
heard and
learning next steps.
Get more information.
Absolutely. The project website is not up yet. It's still
okay.
being developed, but when it's up, we can sure share that with the listeners and the viewers. There will be other opportunities going forward. There will be a town hall meeting. There will be public meetings where we can have input. There will be surveys, online
okay.
presence as well. So there will be a lot of ways for the community to reach out and share their thoughts with us.
Nice. We will stay tuned on mm-hmm. that issue as well. The last thing I did want to mention is that the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, not to be confused with the other MPO over
right.
in Mandan,
mm-hmm.
Is having a public meeting also on Monday morning at 10 a.m. over at the Bisman Transit Building.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to talk about the transportation, the TIP.
The Transportation Improvement Program.
Program, yep. yes.
There's so... What they're looking at there's a number of projects identified over the next 5 years. And when we talk about projects, we're talking throughout the entire MPO. So it's Bismarck, Burley, Lincoln, mm-hmm. Mandan, and Morton. That's
okay.
the consortium of,
right.
of agencies. And these are roadway improvements. They could be bicycle and pedestrian improvements. They could be traffic safety improvements. So there's a number of projects that are identified. The purpose of the public hearing is to hear from the citizens. What do they think of the proposed improvements? What do they think of the projects and the priorities that are being identified?
And I believe that plan, my guess is that draft is probably online. You could probably find it on community development under the city
under
of Bismarck.
The MPO, absolutely.
Yeah, MPO.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
Which
lot of
Which is under community
ways.
Development,
sure.
so you're right.
Yeah, so you can find that plan, and it's extensive.
It is.
And it identifies transportation projects, road projects, like you say, Bismarck, Mandan, Lincoln. Mm-hmm. So it's big, and
yes.
it's a big plan.
It's a hearty document, but there's a lot of information there. There's good maps that,
Very good
that demonstrate
maps, yeah.
where these projects are.
I need a good map.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm a visual person.
All that text is just kind of just difficult to
Thanks
absorb.
To the staff at MPO, they do a really nice job.
They do, and I've seen that plan, and it is very interesting, and really encourage people to take a look at it, because it seems like people don't pay a lot of attention until something is happening in their neighborhood, and you might want to just take a gander at that and see what's affecting you in your area, because this is the time that they're asking for your feedback.
Right. And again, we're looking at a 5-year horizon for some of these projects. So it may not be an immediate situation that's going to change, but going forward, if you're aware of it now, you can expect it later too.
And that's the way it has to be. They have to have these things mapped out well in advance, because funding needs to be captured, design, engineering needs to be done. So it's not something that these projects take a long time to.
And with the MPO, they're working in close quarters with the state DOT and then ultimately the federal government as well, because that's where the money essentially generates. Yeah. So there's a lot of requirements. There's a lot of standards that they need to follow. So this is part of their process.
It's complicated.
It is. Yes.
As are many things. So anyway, we're out of time. Thanks, Jason, for coming again.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I will be here.
All right. Thanks. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.